This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, filling in for Terry Gross. Kat Albrecht is a real-life pet detective. She estimates she's helped over 1,800 pet owners locate their lost dogs, cats, snakes, turtles, ferrets, iguanas, and horses. Earlier in her career, she worked as a police officer and detective. She handled bloodhounds on search and rescue missions, and her first missing pet case involved her own bloodhound, AJ, who dug out of his kennel. Albrecht contacted a friend who owned a golden retriever. The retriever found AJ in 20 minutes. Terry Gross spoke to Kat Albrecht last May, when Albrecht had just published her memoir called The Lost Pet Chronicles. It's now out in paperback. Albrecht told Terry that most search dogs are actually useless for finding pets because they're trained to ignore the scent of other animals.
Most search and rescue dog handlers spend much of their time discouraging or disciplining their dogs if they get off on animal scent. That's because it's critical that when you're working a law enforcement case that your dog is focused on finding the human scent and that it is trained to ignore dogs, cats, and other critter scent. So it's definitely not something that you can call up the average search and rescue dog handler and ask them to come and track your pets. So I knew this when I ventured into this territory, and I knew that once that I made the transition with my police dogs that I could not go back and use them on law enforcement cases again. So it was a tough decision.
Was it hard to retrain them to search for animals?
You know, no, it was actually quite easy because they had always, particularly Rachel, had loved kitties. And in fact, I would be directing her to search for a gun or evidence, and she would lope off on a bunny hunt, and I'd be yelling at her to go find the gun or to search for the physical evidence. And so we always had these little tiffs about what I wanted her to find and what she wanted to find. So the first day that I presented a tuft of fur under her nose and told her, take scent, find the kitty, she just looked up at me like, yes, finally you understand what I've wanted to hunt all along. So I found it quite simple. And also with the bloodhounds, my two bloodhounds, too, once I scented them, they just would take off and just love to track the animal scent.
Now, you know, I always assume that a lot of animals don't really like other animals. A lot of cats are loners and they don't care for other cats or dogs. A lot of dogs don't get along with other dogs or other cats. So do you need a particularly gregarious search dog to do this kind of work?
Yes, actually, I now have several dogs in training, and I'm launching seminars on how to train your dog to find lost pets. And what I look for in the dogs that I train to find cats are dogs that love kitties. So we put them through a testing process, an evaluation, and they have to show the behavior that they want to be with a cat. They're not going to chase and harm a cat because this is search and rescue, not search and destroy. And the dogs that we train to track the scent trail of lost dogs are the dog park dog mentality, the dogs that want nothing more than to play with another dog. And if they don't exhibit either of those behaviors, then they just don't pass evaluation, and I don't spend the time training them.
Is it easier for a search dog to trace the scent of an animal than a person? What I'm thinking is that, like dogs particularly, your average dog is probably a little smellier than your average person, although your average person can be pretty stinky if, on certain occasions. But, you know, just kind of like generalizing, are dogs smellier and easier to find?
You know, that's a good question, but I don't know. And I don't, I've just noticed that the dogs have been able to be successful at both. And so I haven't been able to tell. And obviously they're not talking. But what I do know is that it really depends on the motivation of the dog. And if you have a dog that loves people, like my search dogs have, and they love to eat cheese, and they know that the person hiding at the end of that scent trail is going to give them a piece of cheese and going to pet them, they will do anything they can to follow that scent trail to find them. That's the basis of the training. With the dogs that we train to find missing dogs, their reward at the end of the trail, after they sniff the bedding from the dog that we have hidden out there, their reward is that they get to play with that other dog. So they have such a high play drive that when they get there, they're rewarded and they just work. They use their noses and they just get there.
Yeah. What if the dog on the other end doesn't really want to play? What if that dog wants to attack?
Well, during training, what we do is we, the only dogs that we hide out there, that we lay a trail, as we call it, they're laying a scent trail as they're walking along, and we call those target dogs. They are dogs that love to play with other dogs, so they're always rewarded with that play at the end. On actual searches, oftentimes we never make it right up to the dog. In a typical lost dog case, we establish the direction of travel, and that enables the owner to be able to place the lost dog posters and interview witnesses in the neighborhood and get a positive sighting and recovery of their dog.
You have two bloodhounds now. What makes bloodhounds so good at following scents?
Well, bloodhounds were bred to hunt animals centuries ago, but they, in particular, they were used to hunt people. And they're known as manhunters. They just have an instinctive drive to use their nose to work a colder, what's called colder, older scent, meaning they can track a scent trail after it's been out there several days. Their bodies are built for hunting. They have jowls that causes them to slobber, and that moisture will collect the scent. Their long, dangly ears will ruffle scent particles that may be dormant on the ground and enable them to enter the nasal cavity and they can process it. They're just hunting machines. Other dogs can be and are trained to do what bloodhounds can do, but what sets them apart, in particular in law enforcement cases, is that their testimony is acceptable in a court of law. When it comes to criminal prosecutions, what a bloodhound does on a case, if it meets certain requirements that the courts have set up, is acceptable testimony.
I'm sure you've witnessed a fair number of pet reunions between people and their lost pets. You know, a dog will kind of run to see you and jump all over you when the dog is happy to see you, but cats show their affection in a less obvious way sometimes. You know, I mean, the cat will come to the door and fuss to be petted, but they're not gonna. They're just different from dogs. Well, what are some of the cat person reunions been like? Do the cats rush over to meet the people after they've been found?
No, actually, most of the cats have been hiding in fear. Mm-hmm. And therefore, their owners, one of the primary tools that they've used to recover their cat has been a baited humane trap, which is a tool that's used right now by feral cat groups and to recover unwanted wild cats. And it's one that we advocate using as a recovery tool for a missing cat. And many of those owners are holding a panicked cat that's scratching and trying to get away from them, because a cat is so traumatized by the experience of having escaped outside. But those reunions, I'm looking at the and what I really see is the joy in the owner and just the, thank you so much. I can't believe I have my cat back. Primarily what we hear is, I can't believe he was this close all along. I called him for 3 days. He never meowed, and he was right here all along.
Right where, usually?
Usually the cats that we are finding that are displaced, meaning they're indoor-only cats that push out a window or escape out a door, are either hiding under the owner's own home, under their deck, or in a neighbor on either side of them. They exhibit what we call the silence factor, meaning they do not meow, and they will stay there. Some of the cats, depending on the temperament, if it's a skittish, shy cat that has neophobias, meaning it was from kittenhood experiences and genetics, it is just ingrained that this cat will hide under the bed even when a stranger comes in the house. Those cats can remain outside for 6 to 8 weeks without making a sound, and the owner, if they do not understand that the cat is nearby, they will give up searching, and that cat will be absorbed into the feral cat population.
So do you think the cats usually recognize their people when they are reunited?
I think that the cats recognize their owners, but their instincts take over, in a way that you don't see with dogs. Dogs, of course, there's the happy licking, excited, whining, I'm so happy to be home. Whereas with the cats, their instincts are to protect themselves from predators, and they even see their owners as being a potential predator. That's why they hide and they don't meow, and they can be 3 feet from the owner's front door for 3 days, and the owner thinks, you know, that their cat ran away from home. Cats, they're just a different animal than dogs. And, you know, I'm learning that myself with the cats that I have now. they don't, I try to treat them like dogs and try to hug and kiss them, and they do not appreciate it as much as I would like them to.
You've described a little bit some of the cat patterns when a cat slips out the window or door and runs away from home. What about dogs? Are there any typical patterns of dogs who are lost?
With dogs, it's different because dogs travel. Cats are territorial. Their instinct when they are sick or injured or afraid is they will hide and they will not meow. The first thing they do is look for some place to hide, and they make that their new territory. With dogs, they will move if they are frightened, such as by fireworks. They will move at a rapid speed, and they will run blindly, and they're at risk of being hit by cars. But they oftentimes will run until they get to a point where they can hide somewhere, like in a garage or behind somebody's wood pile in a yard. But the distance that a dog will travel or will be found from their escape point varies, and it depends on several factors, and some of those have to do with human behavior. You can have a skittish, shy, mixed breed dog, a pit bull mix, trotting down the road, and people will not pull over to try to rescue that dog. But if you have a Irish setter or Old English sheepdog or purebred French bulldog that's trotting down the road, people will be more likely to pull over because they will think lost dog or valuable pet or something of value that they want to keep themselves. And so they're more likely to intervene if it's a purebred, highly recognizable dog. So that's just one example of the human behavior. And if you have a dog that is skittish and shy and will growl at somebody when they try to approach it, that dog is going to travel farther than will a wiggly butt golden retriever that, you know, will run up to the first person that that talks to it.
Pet detective Kat Albrecht speaking with Terry Gross. We'll hear more after a break. This is Fresh Air. Let's hear more of Terry's interview with Kat Albrecht, who works as a pet detective. Her book, The Lost Pet Chronicles, is now out in paperback.
You train dogs, but you've also had to work with cats because you have at least one cat that you've used as the target cat. In other words, you train the cat to just kind of act as if it's lost so that then you can teach the dog how to find the lost cat. Are cats hard to train even to do something simple like staying still and acting lost?
Oh, cats are great. And, you know, before I started training my dogs to find missing cats, I had always pretty much owned a cat, but I was not hooked in as a cat lover until my first experience with getting a great cat, and that was with Myron. And when I got Myron and started training him, I had to harness train him to walk on a harness and leash so he could lay a scent trail. And I write about this in the book, how I had gone into the veterinarian and took Myron in there and told the vet tech how I was harness training Myron. Well, she thought that by harness, you know, that the bloodhounds wear a harness. And she looked at Myron and looked at me and looked back at Myron and said, "You mean you're training your cat to track lost dogs?" And so it was pretty amusing. But the other cats that we use now, including this obnoxious orange cat named Cheeto, are kitties that love dogs. Myron and Cheeto, just they're so accustomed to my dogs, and every morning when I let Cody out, she'll find and lick them and play with them and get all excited about, you know, washing the kitty's face, and the cat's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But these cats have a gregarious temperament. They're ones that crate well. I've trained them by placing them in a crate and setting them outside and putting bread and bird seed down They could sit. They learn to lay quietly in these crates because their reward is they get to lay and watch birdies come and eat, and so they don't become fussy or upset while being in the crate. So when we go to the trainings, we take these cats in the crate and we will hide them in some heavy brush, and we have the cat detection dogs. We take them one at a time and have them search around. And when they find the kitty, they are trained that they will give the physical alert. Typically, they're wiggling and wagging their tails. They will run back to the handler, jump on the handler, go back to the kitty, and then we open the crate up, and the kitty is let out, and they're on a harness and lead, and then the dog gets to play with the kitty. And the cats are so used to it, they love it. They'll, they look forward to the training dates. They run into the crate when they see me pull it out.
You used to work with dogs for the police. And you used your search dogs to help find lost people, clues, dead people. In your experience, did the police have a lot of faith in search dogs? The police that you worked with, yeah.
It depended on the agency and on the individual investigator that that had called me out. Initially, one of the first police departments I worked for had no faith in bloodhounds. In fact, after spending 18 months there, they basically said that bloodhounds will never be used here. If you want to work your dog, you need to go elsewhere. And so I did. And I landed with a department that was supportive and in an area of California that had previously used bloodhounds with great success and other search and rescue dogs. So I found it much easier when I left Fresno County and went over to Santa Cruz County. It was much easier for the agencies to call me out with my dogs. One of the first searches that I used my cadaver dog on was the Poly Class search. And that case then opened the door a couple months later for Rachel to work a homicide case where the detective really was skeptical. He really had never seen a cadaver dog work before. And in his experience with the police patrol dogs that he had seen, he had not had much faith in dogs. But when Rachel went out there and was finding the evidence that was right out there, but it just wasn't visible, he was impressed.
What advice would you have for people who have lost a cat or a dog? Do those posters on the trees or in the convenience stores help?
Well, the posters help primarily with lost dogs because typically the dog is out there, it's traveling, and somebody's going to pick it up. Invariably, a lost dog is going to end up with somebody who finds it, and they either self-rescue it or they turn it into a rescue group, or they turn it over to a friend. Sometimes they take it to the animal shelter, but don't count on it. You still want to search the shelter every day, if possible, for your dog or cat when it's missing. But really, your focus with a lost dog is getting the word out there that your dog is missing, and really focusing on getting the word out to a lot of rescue groups, because oftentimes many of the missing pets end up, or missing dogs end up there, and are never taken to the shelter. The one place where the dog owner is searching is often the last place that anyone will take it because of the fear that it will be put to sleep. With missing cats, cats will be close. Some cats are transported out of the area, but if it's a displaced, fearful cat, it's going to be nearby and hiding, and using a baited humane trap as a recovery tool is a primary way to get the cat back. We have a website that I would recommend that if you've lost a pet that you check. It's www.lostapet.org.
What do you do with your search dogs when they're ready to retire? How do they take to retirement?
Well, AJ is retired, and, they just still live
there. Do they play golf?
No. No, he just lays. He just sleeps a lot and watches a lot of TV. They're just not working anymore, and they get used to seeing me take off with the other dogs. So, it's hard. AJ is 12 now, which is really old for a bloodhound. Mm-hmm. He's deaf. He's gray. His body has really changed a lot. And, I'm not sure how much longer he'll be around. But, he was a wonderful search dog. And, he's a hero. And, so he deserves to rest and play golf and watch TV the rest of his life.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us about your work and your animals.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Kat Albrecht speaking with Terry Gross last May. AJ, the beloved bloodhound Albrecht spoke about at the end of the interview, was laid to rest on July 7th of last year. After hip dysplasia caused his back end to fail, he was put to sleep wearing his bright orange police vest. His final meal was the food he loved the most, broccoli. His ashes were spread in Santa Cruz, along the trail where he made his one and only felon find.